Hey, iDrag listeners, Random here. This is our second attempt at recording episode number 93. Our first attempt did not go so well. We suffered an Azariah-level gremlin attack, and with all due respect to House Hendo, who joined us that evening, I had to scrap the audio. So, without further ado, I bring you episode 93 of the iDrag podcast, take two, this time no gremlins.
So, Opus, we're going to kick this thing off.
Yeah, I still stand beside that Cal should go for it, though.
Hey, what is Eve again?
Well, it's this...
I thought you said that you were going to. I thought you were, like, super excited to. Hold on, let me pull it up.
You guys gotta give me at least 1 week to...
Oh, okay.
I believe it says, quote, I'm on board this week, exclamation point, also, comma, I remember that I'm opening and closing the show,
that's-
period, hee hee.
Okay, that's cool. I was just, you know, Kyle's here, and it's kind of a special thing, right? Don't forget, I was a listener way before I was a host, so, or a guest. So, you know, seeing Kyle kind of gives me the fuzzies.
Aww. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Grab your bourbon. Guidance. This is High Drag.
I am Kyle Yanowski.
I am Randa McNally.
I am Ashtarothy.
I'm Fincher.
Zayo Amadeus.
I am Selen.
We are Go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're Go Fly.
Launch Control, this is Houston. We are Go for launch.
This is High Drag.
Good morning, noon, or night, wherever you are. This is High Drag Podcast, episode 93. Tonight, we have a panel of... I messed that up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, 6.
I know, right?
I didn't even notice the pause.
Yeah, that was
bad. And by the time I put it through post, you'll never know it was there.
Yeah, thanks.
Start at the beginning of the sentence.
Tonight on the panel, starting from the top, we have Randa McNally.
Hi, I'm Randa McNally. I'm a line member of Stay Frosty and A Band Apart.
We have Ashtarothy.
Greetings, fellow Empyreans. I am Ashtarothy. And I am an officer in Malro Industries. Malro Industries, we change high sec.
And special guest, Grey Gal.
Hello all, I'm Grey Gal, founder and executrix of Redemption Road, a public realm community and affirmative alliance. And I take out new players every month on a free realm.
Welcome. Next we have Kyle Yanowski.
Hello, I'm Kyle Yanowski, both in-game and out, and I just stumbled in here on a whim. Hello.
Glad
you're this guy.
Next, we have Minoke.
Hi, I'm Dehan Minhyuk, member of Sub-Zero and the Bastion.
And I'm Opus Magnum, line member with Sub-Zero Corporation within the Bastion and CEO of Eve Onion. So tonight, we have a couple of topics that we're going to cover. We're overview, Guardians Gala event happening. We have the hiatus of the Alliance Tournament and a special section with Grey Gal talking about Cruisers of Eve. So let's just get straight into it. Grey Gal, do you want to tell us what Cruisers of Eve is? And when is it happening?
Cruisers of Eve is a real-life undock party, basically. We will be undocking in Seattle on June 29th and going on a 7-day cruise on Norwegian Cruise Lines up into Alaska, down through the Inner Passage. I think we have just over 40 people reserved so far on it. It is 7 days, unlimited alcohol, unlimited food, lots of shore excursion options. It's going to be so awesome. Oh, and the cruise ship has laser tag on it and go-karts.
Are there any big names that we might know of that's already signed up? Besides yourself, of course.
Yeah, Rick Strafik coming. He's definitely one that just about everybody knows. I am. Chocolate Rain will be on the cruise also. And if you know Demonic Moo and Gen Z, they're both some of the eVegas volunteers and have also volunteered at FanFest. They'll be there. As to CC Peers, I don't know of any CC peers yet that have made a reservation. I know that some are hoping to go and are talking about going, but nothing yet. Oh, also the couple who run G Fleet, Tehran, they'll be there also.
It's a little bit bigger of an ask than like a E Vegas sort of event.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It's more comparable in cost to a week in Iceland for FanFest. But it is, you know, a whole week. So more people have it's more a difficulty of getting a whole week off than it is paying for it, I'm finding, for many people. So for those
But it sounds like a once in a lifetime opportunity. So if you can figure out how to do it, it sounds like something to do.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And the sooner the better that you make a reservation, because as the ship gets more full, it's a brand new ship, just undocked and for the first time back in May of last year, the lower your cost. But the cruise is June 29th through July 4th, 7th through July 7th. For those that are not going on the cruise, though, plus also those who are going on the cruise, we are planning a meetup in Seattle the night before.
That sounds awesome. Like, as a fellow cruiser, I wish I could go, but my schedule just won't allow it. Personally, it's kind of like, where did this come from, right? Like, cruise, right? Like, is this just something people ask for? Where did the idea come from?
Oh, this is a personal bucket list item, absolutely, for me. I have long wanted to go on a quote-unquote real cruise. I've also long wanted to go on a cruise to Alaska. On top of that, one of my bucket list items is going to all 50 states in the U.S. Well, I've been to 49. So I'll be knocking off going on a quote-unquote real cruise, visiting all 50 states and cruising Alaska all on one trip. So the idea to make it an Eve-related thing, an Eve-themed thing, was, well, I like to throw parties and why, you know, I'm doing something that's really cool, a bucket list item. Why not invite, you know, close friends?
I'm going on a cruise and I'm bringing you with me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
It also can save money, all right? Because when you go as a group, you get more booking bonuses and you get a portion, a very small, tiny portion of the fares paid back to the group. So that way you can buy loot. Or take everyone out to dinner, or just split the money up and give it back to everyone. I'm trying to do a combination of all three, to be honest. So along with an excellent value, I think, really, even though it is a big time chunk, there'll also be some loot given out.
So if people want to get more information about this, where would they go?
Go to the EVE Online Forums events section. I have a huge long post in there all about it. You can also just hit me up on Discord. I'm GreyGal6515. Or on Twitter, GreyGal_EVE.
Can you give us an idea of what some of the prices are kind of looking at? So it may be a deal breaker on some people. So do you have a price range that this is going to be for people?
The cruise is running roughly $1,300 per person, double occupancy and up, depending upon what kind of cabin you book. I believe the inside cabins right now are actually running $1,500 per person and up. For the undocked party in Seattle the night beforehand, which anybody will be able to go to, I still am working out the details of that, but that'll probably be in the like $30 person range. For dinner and a really cool party.
Now, I was going to say, no, I've never had a chance to be on a cruise, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make this one because I will be in the EU while you guys are all sailing to Alaska. But from what I've heard, taking a cruise like this, and even an Alaska cruise, would be a lot of fun. I guess there's, you know, well, you mentioned earlier that there's go-karts and laser tag. You know, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of drinking and maybe even some adult beverages there. So,
well, yes, the cruise package, we get unlimited alcohol package. So we're planning an onboard pub crawl actually for one night.
Nice.
That is so easy. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, it'll start at the pub that's called The Local. I kid you not, on the cruise ship, there's a bar called The Local. On top of that, there's the shore excursions of all kinds of those, or you can just, you know, check out the local towns yourself. On board, there's live entertainment, too.
Are you going to put up no talking signs outside of the club?
Well, it's not a wormhole.
Right, but there's no talking in local.
Ba-dum-bum.
So, all right, I'm going to follow that.
I walked right into that one, didn't I?
So I'm going to follow that up with a confession, which is that when you started talking about an undocking party, I thought that was like your clever, hip, you know, name for real life Eve get together. And it took me a little while to figure out that you meant a party for the undocking of the cruise ship, not undocking from our Eve ships. But I got there eventually.
It could be both. Mean both. I
fair enough.
I actually did maybe take it. Yeah. And like the parties in Seattle, the meetup in Seattle before we undock, you know, the cruise ship actually undocks the next day. I'm actually more or less calling Undock Seattle. I'm down to two locations to hold that out. One of them is the, you know, Museum of Flight. The other is the Pike Brewery, and I'm just waiting on getting some more numbers back to determine which location I'm going to have it at.
Nice.
Or the Queen Anne Brewery. Pike's doesn't give me a better price. I'm really keen on the idea of having the Undock Seattle party at the Museum of Flight, though, because they have an exhibit there with a actual NASA space shuttle trainer/simulator, and we'd be in that space. How cool is that?
That is really cool. Now, as cool as all this is, though, I think that all, you know, we've just asked our audience to sit down and be jealous for the last, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. So
I don't think jealousy is the one that's in play here. Maybe it's motivating them to come out and play, come join.
I got jealousy, so I'm projecting.
Please do. And I'm already looking into a cruise for 2020, by the way.
I haven't been on vacation in 15 years.
It sounds like it from your voice.
Yeah. It sounds like a blast, though.
Some of the rest of us have to file less paperwork when we go on vacation.
I think this will be the first real proper vacation. Yet it's still a little bit of a working vacation for me now that I think about it, since I'm organizing it. Okay. One of these days I'm going to have an actual vacation where I don't organize something, but not today.
There you go. Not this year.
Not this year. You know, I'm also somewhat, lightly involved with helping out in Toronto. I'll be helping out with the fundraising side of things there.
Speaking of that, Random tipped me off that there's this world tour that CCP is doing. Of course, that's old news for you guys, but it's new to me. And I found out today that I'm 7 hours driving distance to Toronto.
Sounds like
now, I have no clue what they're planning so far on the Toronto, other than some of the fundraising side of things. But it's also Pride Weekend, so regardless of your politics, Toronto is going to be one heck of a party that whole weekend.
No, I am all about the Pride parades. I'll be there waving a flag.
Yeah, me too. it's just going to be a great weekend, I think, to be there no matter what. And then, of course, there's Easter Dam and Eve London. Well, they'll end the year at Eve London. I'm hoping to go to that one. And, of course, Eve Vegas, which will be in October at the Flamingo. I'm heavily involved with organizing volunteers and the check-ins and stuff, the loot and stuff like that for Eve Vegas every year.
Very cool. That's one more nudge to get me to go.
If you've never been to an Eve meetup, go.
I haven't.
Really go. It brings a whole new level of the game to your life.
I've been to game meetups before, but never to one.
It's
that
not
I've...
the same.
Not.
No, like haven't been to several. Everything from BlizzCon to PAX to other like smaller games and stuff. The Eve get together is very different. Just simply because of both the competitive but also the kind of insular nature of the Eve community makes that a totally different experience than any other.
It's more like a family reunion on acid than it is like a BlizzCon.
Not having gone to any other type of gaming convention meetup, I've really got nothing to compare it to, but I've been to several Eve meets and I have a great time every time I go.
Yeah, well, the other point about it is that even like the devs that are there, there is basically no walls between them and you. You know, you can just go up to them and talk to them. They're always there. A lot more than, you know, like if you go to PAX, or not PAX, but like you go to BlizzCon, you may not actually ever get to pin down, especially a high profile dev that happens to be there the entire time, because there's just so much going on and so whatever. The intimate nature of EVE, the player base, means that we kind of know each other already. So it helps make the event, it makes it so you get more out of the event, I would say.
Well,
yeah, it's the excuse is the event, the reason is the people.
Although I figured it out. I think we used to call Greg Al the EVE's grandma, right?
Something like that.
You're not EVE's grandma, you're EVE's fairy grandma, because you run around and just sprinkle fairy dust over things and turn them into EVE events.
I'm trying.
It can't just be a cruise, it's an EVE cruise.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can't just organize gin. Yeah.
Well, that's why you don't go on vacations without organizing it, because, you know, that would be just a normal vacation. You have to EVEify it first.
Pretty much, yeah.
See, I figured you out.
Well, it's like when I, can't just organize a dinner. It's got to be a dinner party, right?
But that's what makes this community so great and fun, though. The fact that you can, you know, put a Cruisers of EVE event out there and actually have a good many people sign up for it and look forward to it and actually be able to do it.
If it wasn't for the fact that I'm going to be in Ireland that particular week, I would absolutely love to go.
I'm hoping for just a few more people so we hit that 50 reservation mark, because then that's like all, you know, next level of the group bonuses, and I can buy a lot more loot for everyone. And so, yeah.
Nice.
I'm getting embroidered polo shirts for all the cruisers.
Oh, that ought to be cool.
Yeah.
Shirts are always nice.
Hey, CCP, have you ever considered embroidered shirts for your EVE meetups rather than just the screen t-shirts?
They are quite a bit more expensive.
Yeah. We know that.
You know, now, and I mean, I can't say with any authority because I really don't know, but I know enough about event management and stuff to know that the odds are really high that CCP loses money on most of these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a marketing budget expense, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I will say Banex was nice enough to organize a thing. So he got several of us button-up shirts with the FedUp logo embroidered on the chest and our name embroidered on the sleeve. So I love that thing. Thank you.
You know, I've not been to many events that I haven't either hosted or here close to Georgia, but it's really great to see the photos and see like the corps and the alliances that have the same the same shirt on. And just there's just that sense of community within a community, right? Like a brotherhood type of thing.
It also really helps when you get like a little misdirected or flat out lost in a place. You just kind of look around enough, you'll find somebody wearing a shirt you might recognize.
Right.
With the logo you recognize, and suddenly you're not alone and you're not lost. Although you might be harassed and hassled for, you know, getting lost.
It's not a good time till someone loses their way home.
So, as we move on the show, how about that Alliance tournament?
You mean lack thereof?
Ooh.
This almost made me cry when I saw this come out.
I didn't want to believe it. I had to double check like all of my news outlets to make sure there wasn't like a mistake or a misreport or I'm reading it or I was
No EVE Onion this time, sorry man.
Yeah, well, like I was super hoping.
Yeah, well, so was I, too. So just before Valentine's Day, CCP Falcon puts out a dev blog basically saying that because CCP is going to be on the road with all their fan fest activities this year, and it doesn't sound like a lot of people are going to be hanging around Reykjavik. It sounds like a lot of people are going to be out and about. They decided that they were going to put the Alliance tournament on hiatus, and while CCP Falcon did indeed have a great interview on Talking in Stations with Matterall, talking about it and reassuring those of us who were weeping into our towels that that this is purely a hiatus and not a discontinuation. The idea is that they are supposed to be doing a little bit of rethinking on it. They want to try to improve it because literally for the longest time, Alliance Tournament has kind of been EVE Online's answer to what's the term I'm thinking of? My God. Like Super the League of Legends. Like the, yeah, eSports. Super there we Bowl. Go. Thank you. Well, esports in particular, but we all know that the Alliance tournament just never quite gets the popularity that something like a League of Legends tournament gets. So, you know, it's one of those. Falcon is talking about, you know, taking things back, discussing ways that they can improve it, things that they can do better. And but in the meantime, I'm still weeping. You know, I'm just like, Alliance Tournament is the one thing I look forward to dramatically every year. You know, plus a lot of times I've been participating, especially the last few years, even if I'm terrible at it. But this is my big thing. And while, you know, I respect CCP Falcon coming out and saying, hey, this is just a hiatus. It will be back. We're going to do it bigger and better and badder. But in the meantime, you know, there are, I'm sure, more than just me sitting in the quiet corner in the dark sobbing.
So, okay. After I was done weeping into my pillows and I put away my pint of ice cream and all that stuff.
Haagen-Dazs, was it?
Yeah. I thought about it. And one of the things that really stood out to me about what Falcon said was that the big lesson learned for them was that this is for real important to us. And that struck me on multiple levels, and it made me kind of understand what's going on here and how it could actually be extremely beneficial. So the problem is that something like an AT, it's difficult to quantify its value. It's very much like other EVE events, right? Like going to FanFest or whatever. And
the value is all intangible, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, they can't say, okay, the subscriber count went up this number because we had an AT versus not having an AT. Like that.
Yeah.
And more importantly, you certainly can't get those numbers if you never don't have an AT. And that kind of brings me to my point, which is that now we get to see what a year looks like without an AT. Does it go by? Is there a difference? Do we have more of a lull during that time as we're gearing up? Or is it true that the money that they could have spent for the AT instead being shunted over to things like more events in more places, is that a better spend for their money? And as much as I think that they should have, you know, an esports offering, and I think that AT should be only the beginning of that, I think that this break might give us all a good opportunity to kind of take a deep breath and think about what this, what the AT can actually be beneficial, how it can actually be beneficial to us.
You are such an optimist, Ash.
No, because this isn't even like an optimism thing. I'm not saying it's going to actually come back better, bigger and better, but what I'm saying is that the AT was born from a very different climate. Like, one of the things that I was thinking about during all this time is that the AT has been fraught with controversy, basically its entire existence. It has always been an almost not going to happen thing. And there's always been, you know, these controversies and weird chaos behind the scenes. Back in the day, when I first started watching the AT, cheating, like colluding with other people, was considered to be totally normal. And then all of a sudden, everybody, you know, decided that that was not okay anymore because it ruined the finals. And the rules changed and people adapted. The rules continue to change and the game changes too. And I think that, you know, this as I said, I think that this might be able to give us an opportunity to take a step back and say, okay, well, what is the goals that we actually have from having a thing like the AT? What is valuable for having a thing like an AT as a company? You know, is it a good place to put out information? Is it a good place to, get viewers? Is it a good place to try to explain things to new players? Is it a good place? You know what I mean? So, like, how do we make it work? Because it always seems like we're kind of janky, and always showing ourselves to be kind of janky doesn't necessarily attract people.
Yeah, but the downside is when you start looking at it from that point of view, it really gets kind of scary with the idea that why would we want to bring it back if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't fulfill any of these qualifications, why are they spending money to do it? And I'm fingernails holding on to the idea that Falcon said this is a hiatus, not a discontinuation.
There's been lots of breakups after a break that, you know, I've heard a lot of people's relationships end like, oh, we'll take a break, and then figure out, oh, we don't need this. They don't need them in our lives.
Yeah, that's the norm, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the norm.
I mean, I see it as no, I have no doubt the AT is coming back. Zero doubt that this is just a hiatus. But I'm also looking at it from, you know, a bigger picture perspective. They have so much traveling planned this year. They're moving headquarter buildings. I mean, just there's an awful lot going on this year. No Fan Fest, so why not have a break? Well, this is the perfect year to have the break.
And I don't disagree with you, but you know, it's one of those deals that if you look at it from the point of view of, you know, gosh, we've got so much going on this summer. We're taking FanFest to the road. We're moving buildings. We're doing this. We're doing that. So we're going to set it on the wayside for this year. See, that to me is a nicely optimistic, you know, perspective on it. But what Ash is saying is making me want to go back to my freezer and grab another pint of Haagen-Dazs, for Christ's sake. It's like, stop pissing up my brain.
I can comfort you guys because I know exactly what's going to happen because I'm keen to these sorts of things. I pay attention to them, to the details. You want to know what's going to happen?
Hit us.
I'll tell you. The Alliance tournament is going to turn into a battle royale there. You heard it first here, guys.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, battle royale.
Yeah. I just assumed they didn't want it to interfere with their Project Nova tournament.
Oh. You know, I agree with, yes, you know, they have a lot going on, and this is the one thing they can let go, and that's kind of the problem I have, though, right? They planned all this stuff out, and this is the one thing they can let go. Like, it's not important to the community when it clearly, you know, because Falcon had to, you know, came on Talking Stations midweek to talk about it, it is important to the community. And so they have promises they have to keep. And so I'll give them the year to see, right? Let's see if they keep up their promise, if there's going to just be a hiatus. But the problem with the hiatus is that hiatuses can last indefinitely sometimes.
Well, they specifically said a 1 year. They said that they're going to come back next year. They didn't, you know,
Damn it, Opus, you know, you're making me want to grab that Haagen-Dazs again.
Well, no. It's going to happen. I have no doubt it's going to be back. I'm actually hopeful it comes back in some different form, substantially different form, that still retains what makes Eve turn the AT so great. Because, trust me, I cried. I was completely speechless, stunned, shocked. It was like knife to the heart when I heard the news, because as many of you know, I've been a huge fan of the AT and have been in the AT, what, five times? I think I've been in five of them. Although I'm no longer involved in running or being on an AT team, I'm still a huge lover of it. But I also think this might be a good thing for TQ this year.
So I got to take a different approach with the AT, and I know you guys have been involved in you're happy. It seems to me that the AT not going on is not really a big deal to me. And the reason being is I kind of lost interest in the AT when gambling went away. Right?
Yep.
That's interesting point, because that was one of the things that they talked about with Falcon, was they hammered him about that and said that, you know, this is what happens, because it's investment. If you're not invested into it, then it's hard to care.
They really need to have some sort of gambling made, because that probably dropped 30% of the viewership, because it used to be, what, 12, 15,000 people were watching every match?
Yep.
And now it's, what, 7, 10,000 watching every match live?
They should do an event like the Guardians Gala during the entire AT period. And you
Let's not go there.
No,
let's
not you go can collect there. Tickets, and then you can put them in, and when you put them in, you pick a team, and if they win their next match, you get a big payout. Done.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's awesome. Actually pretty serviceable.
Why not?
Put that up on the ideas forum.
The gambling, the only time I ever actually looked forward to the AT, because I didn't pretend to understand the mechanics and the metagaming that was going on behind the scenes. I paid close attention to how much money I had riding on EveBet and how much I was going to get out when I just stumbled upon a win. And, you know, when that went away, it just... Okay, yeah, the big guys are going at it again. Great. What's on Netflix?
Well, for me, I started going to EVE Atlanta because of the AT finals weekend. We usually have an AT showing party. And so I kind of going to miss that content this year as the organizer of EVE Atlanta now. Like, that was a big thing for us. We kind of look forward to it. So a lot of my frustrations is that I feel like, sure, we can have another event and same time period, and it'd be fine. But that was so much fun, getting together a bunch of nerds, like 50 of us, and watching the AT together, and being from different alliances in these alliances and going at it. You know, like giving each other the smack talk back and forth. You know, your teams on the fields.
This year, you can have a funeral for it and show some highlights from previous ATs.
Ouch. Oh, stop! Stop!
I'm sure.
Stop.
Well, there's going to be a lot of events, so I'm sure you could do like an event, some keynote for like EVE Vegas. That's what I.
The Matterall Talking in Stations keynote.
No, I mean for one of the EVE fan fests or the mini fan fests that they're doing all over the place.
I am kind of intrigued to see what happens on TQ this summer, though, because so many. You know, one of the somewhat negative sides of the AT, in my humble opinion, is that it negatively impacts TQ activity. Because for several months, some of the biggest content creators of EVE are focused on the AT. And people who log in EVE normally, you know, to mine or roam or whatever, are now only logging in for practices. Alliance recruitment, especially in some of the major alliances, gets flat out shut down for months. You know, it's interesting to see what people are going to do to entertain themselves this summer that normally would be focused on the AT. Well, knowing that some, of course, only log on for the AT.
Honestly, I'd be perfectly happy if we never had an AT again, if they released the proper tools so that we could do our own tournaments.
Yes.
Yes. And they've already said pretty openly that's something that they're looking into and working on. I mean, that's been mentioned at EVE Vegas and most recently. And look at the EVE NT event, you know, and how that worked with the last Alliance tournament. Frankly, they did a bloody grand job. Really awesome job. I'm kind of surprised they didn't just have the EVE NT people do it entirely this year, but I'm sure there's good reason.
Well, according to that, because that was even brought up during the interview with Falcon, and it's the fact that while EVE NT has done a dramatic job, I mean, they've been incredible in their televising and their commentary. The problem is they still need the dev work from Reykjavik behind the scenes. So it isn't just a matter of, well, we'll pass everything off to EVE NT. Yeah, EVE NT will be the face of it, and they do a great job as the face of it, but you still need the dev work behind the scenes, and that's where the problem is lying. So
they got to come up with those tournament tools.
There's another angle that I would like to look at this as well, which is that there is a pretty significant contraction in the overall market for esports tournaments this year. In other words, Blizzard just canceled like 90% of their esports tournaments, and they're one of the people that have been really pouring huge amounts of money into their tournaments and stuff. So I think that Hearthstone... Yeah. Heroes of the Storm. Yep, they've canceled all of their And I think Overwatch, right? Maybe not Overwatch.
Despite record revenue.
Yeah. Well, we could... That's a whole boy. That's another topic. But,
That's another show.
Anywho, unionized. No. So it may be one of those things where CCP is looking at that and being like, well, maybe this is not the, maybe this isn't the year to have a big tournament thing.
You guys are making me cry again.
Look, I'm saying negative stuff.
I really
stuff.
Just think it was just too busy a calendar, honestly. Yeah. I think that was the main reason.
It's a really big trend of cancellations, isn't there? I mean, in the last 2 years, there's, let's see, Nova's canked, right? Or whatever it was called.
Nova supposedly is going back to square one for redesign, which is sad because when I was at Vegas last year, and Gigi, you were there. I mean, I got a chance to play Project Nova, and I was like, I'm not a first-person shooter player at all, period. And I enjoyed it. I liked the premise of it. I liked the pacing of it. It was fun. And so, you know, color me surprised when we get back and I had signed up for the beta and it's like, no, we're not going to do it this year because we're going back to square one. I was just like, oh, serious.
That's, yeah. So Nova's gone. Valkyrie went, you know, belly up really quick. No one's, I think the Steam charts are showing an average of 4 people playing it per night. Then the AT tournament goes away. I mean, that's a trend, right?
Well, so I know that it is very chic to suggest that Project Nova is dead, but every report that I've gotten from like the devs, like CCP Rattati, seems to be relatively optimistic. And I'll go back to my original theory. I haven't seen anything to contradict it, which is that they had this idea that fighting on the surface of spaceships would be exciting and fun, and ultimately that didn't make it fun. And so they're going, like, they're not necessarily rebuilding it all from scratch, because they're still using the Unreal Engine and probably 99% of the same assets, but they're trying to figure out how to make their levels fun, which is a very important phase of the process.
Well, not to sound Debbie Downer, but they were pretty optimistic in 2016 too at EVE Vegas. Then what? A week later?
Well, that's my point. They specifically said that they got feedback from EVE Vegas that made them realize that their build wasn't working as much as they wanted it to be.
Not so sure that level design is greater than gameplay, but. I definitely see what you're saying. I just at some point you gotta part ways with the fallacy of sunk costs and realize that, you know, going back to the drawing board may not be the best thing for CCP. I don't know.
Specifically, you gotta think about it. The way that they did it was you're on the skin of a ship, and so there's like zero G, and then when you kill somebody, they fly off. But at the same time, you could still like
cool. Yeah.
You could still jump. I guess apparently a lot of people didn't like it. That's all I know. That's what I remember. Either way, we're not talking about Best or Nova. We're talking about other canceled things.
Other things, like, yeah.
The AT. Well, technically, the AT is not canceled because it's never guaranteed, so it's not happening this year.
I will say, though, that as preparations and as the ramp up to last year's AT started, it really had the feeling that this was going to be the last one. So I was nervous about AT coming up this year because, like I said, it was just like as we were getting things prepped, you know, it seemed like the rule sets came out kind of lackadaisical last year. It's like, oh, yeah, here's the rules for this year. And then, you know, waiting until almost like the 11th hour to find out what the tournament prize ships were going to be. It was just it really had that kind of closure feeling where we're going to do this and then we're going to be done. So when the announcement came this year, it was just like, you know, I mean, the first thing I did was hit the Twitters because you got to do social media. And I was just like, you know, it really felt like this is where it was going to go. So I'm
if this gets any livelier, funeral's going to break out. What are you guys excited about? Is there anything happening in game in the next couple of months that you're like, yes, I can't wait?
Guardians
it doesn't
Gala.
Involve.
Oh wait,
I want to end on a bit of optimism about the AT, which is that Elise Randolph pointed this out, and it's really important to note, which is that although there's a lot of consternation about the fact that the AT was less viewed last year because there wasn't betting, the truth remains that the AT has gotten better year on year, especially in the last few years since the introduction of proper testing areas and other such things have made it so that AT teams are very high quality. The rules have dialed in significantly, so the AT's quality has increased. So that's definitely not the issue.
It's still an ambiguous measure, though, right? I mean, ultimately, is if the AT is better, shouldn't the measure be increased viewership or ease of bringing new people into understanding the rules of the AT or something like that, not just ease of the participants?
No.
Well,
I as a judge, am saying that I think that the newer ATs were just better tournaments than older ATs, and Elise agrees. So that's what I mean by better. Not better by the metrics or anything like that, but just a higher quality thing.
They are. I mean, I'll never forget, what was it, AT-12, when the server, the test server, was down for a month and a half or so, and just, don't even get me started. We just had this one year where every single thing that could go wrong went wrong. You know, I'm just hoping that they can find a way to make the AT more relevant to EVE as a game, to the average player, though.
And yeah.
It's such a completely different style of flying. It's a completely different strategy and theory crafting than what you do on day-to-day EVE. So that is cool. I mean, that's really cool. It's really part of the niftiness of the AT. But at the same time, it's also kind of isolating an elite and a certain bit of elitism. But it is kind of isolating. It alienates a lot of people from the game. It also creates a situation where somebody who first gets exposed to EVE watching the AT then joins EVE, and it's nothing like the tournament at all. So that dichotomy needs to be resolved, I think, also.
I agree.
So, I mean, if you want to do that sort of stuff, it's really simple. You do the stuff that the other tournaments have done. Like I said earlier, you do a live event during that time, so that way people can engage with it without... You want to make it so that there's different ways to engage in the fact that an AT is going on, besides just watching that AT. So if you have an event where there's other things happening in the game that isn't necessarily sitting there watching the AT, but is related to the AT in various different ways, that would help increase its overall adoption. But also, I mean, you could even get as extreme as some of the other, going back to Overwatch or whatever with their tournaments, where the longer you're watching, you actually accrue points to use in game, but only for skins that are related to the teams that are in that, so like you've got special team skins for the people in the tournament, maybe just color schemes, and then you spend your currency on that, so that way now you have your team colors, there's a buy-in, and everybody's really excited about it. I assume that has worked. Maybe it hasn't, but my gut would be that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I agree, and I would love my Amar soccer hooligan jersey as a result of that. But back to my original question, right, is I'm coming back after a while, and I'm not hearing a lot of stuff that we're excited about. Is there anything on the horizon that's even remotely interesting or a reason for me to come back and get into the game? Or am I still clinging to hope that, an AT is going to come up next year?
Well, I mean, I think there's more in EVE than just the AT. There's been lots of changes over the past year that have been great for the game.
Like what?
So be warned, it is currently February. So we are hitting that interesting moment where everybody goes, there's nothing in the future. And then suddenly FanFest, which I guess we don't have FanFest, but I'm sure they're going to have some sort of like springtime announcement for the during the first of the FanFest lights eventy things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's little doubt that there's going to have some sort of an announcement at every one of the, I mean, it's CCP. That's kind of what they do.
I mean, this last year, the big thing has been, I would say that the big thing has been the Abyss and the new Stargates. Those have been, if I think about last year, those, that would be the two most impactful things in EVE. It's interesting that they haven't really, they followed up with the Abyss by adding in frigates, but they haven't really added or done very much more with like the weather or the content or stuff like that. So I wonder if what they're going to do next with that sort of stuff.
I think you can make an argument they've made some more progress in getting rid of POSs.
Yeah. And they hit feature parity. So now, technically speaking, they could start the process of removing POSs, I believe, right?
Now, knowing Kyle,
this is our Abyss is exciting though.
Knowing Kyle, though, the way I do, a lot of the stuff that we've just talked about is PvE or sideline type related stuff. I'm sure that Mr. Yanowski is going to want to know what has been going on with the PvP going on in game. You know, what's happening with PvP?
I mean, we got
that depends on how much you like killing Gillas.
Well, I mean, we got brand new ship lines and new stuff like that this year.
Yeah, I was going to say. The answer is still the Abyss. You have the Abyss PvP, which is pretty cool.
Yep, the cruiser arena type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the nice thing about that, Torvald does a lot of streams where he does the Proving Grounds. And the cool thing about it is it only takes a tier 3 to do it. And given the fact that you can do any of the tier 3s, it's relatively simple to find a tier or one of the weathers that like synergizes really well with a ship to make it so that you can get through a T3 and into the arena.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
I think you called that one pretty much spot on, Ash. It's, you know, most of the stuff that's really come into EVE over the last few months has all been Abyss related.
Very true.
Yeah, I'm personally looking for the next big milestone, and I've been watching for it for a while, is, of course, the agency redesign, which hasn't really been talked about much since Vegas, which is starting to make me nervous, but I'm holding my breath still. The fact that we did not get the agency redesign for Gala, that is actually my tinfoil theory about Gala, and one of the reasons why everything is the way it is with it. Was that I honestly believe that they expected the new agency interface to be ready for the Gala, and when it wasn't, that's one of the reasons why we got the details about it so late, was because they had to make it work with the old system. That's my guess. It would definitely explain some of the things that we've seen.
But you know what, Ash, in this situation, I think I'm going to give you kudos on that guess, because when we start talking about the Guardians Gala, I mean, we're going to have some complaints, you know, but
why don't we just jump into it?
Well, is there anything else we want to talk about as far as answering Kyle's question? I mean, what are some of the positive things that, you know, Kyle Yanowski, who's coming back to the game from another hiatus, is, you know, what has he got to look forward to? You know, how's faction warfare? How's LoSAC?
I would say that really? Kyle, that your new hobby should be killing miners in NullSec.
Wow.
That's the new hip thing, right? Killing Rorqualls?
Yeah.
And then losing a freighter full of drones.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, traditional warfare, right? You've got to kill the manufacturing industrial wings of your enemy, and that's why it's the hottest thing.
Well, cool. There's also a lot more of them now.
Before we move on to the Guardians thing, can you guys recap what the war deck changes were and what were some of the ramifications of that?
Sure, it's real simple. Basically, now, in order to be able to be part of a war deck, so in other words, in order to declare war or have war declared upon you, the corporation or alliance must have at least one structure in space. That structure can be a POS, it can be a POCO, it could be any of the
Citadel.
any of the upwell structures, whatever. It's just if you've got something hanging in space, you become war eligible. What this has done is, well, I don't have the very solid numbers yet, but I've heard a lot of anecdotal stories about a lot of high set corps, doing very well because of that. And I know that Malro, we now have like 150 members, and we're able to advertise openly, and so our recruitment has gone really, surged. So I personally, from my perspective, it's been extremely beneficial.
Okay, cool. Thanks for the recap. What are we doing? Guardians of Gala now?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to take off my positivity hat for a second.
Yeah, let's do that. All right,
Guardians Gala.
So this is the one event that I do every year. I do not do any of the other events. It's the one event. As a Galenti dude, I love this event. I always have since day one. I can say that I've not done a single site, and I have no intention to. Just for the feedback that I've been seeing and the way that the prize structure is going and the way the loot is designed.
Yeah. I'm going to start, as we normally do, by explaining mechanically how it works, and then we'll go.
Thank you, Ash, because that's another reason. I think I was going to probably burst into tears doing this one, too.
Okay. So the Guardian Gala has two different sites, just like last year, a standard site and a VIP site. And at the site, there is either an Astrahus or a Fortizar, depending on which site it is. And there is that square structure that we've seen in like every single event ever. There is frigates and cruisers. The frigates web, the cruisers target paint. We've seen these AI in the events several times now. More warp in. And then eventually a boss shows up. The boss can be a battlecruiser or a battleship for the standard one. It can be a carrier for the VIP sites. You blow up the boss, you get the treasure, the loot. I use that term loosely. And there is a bunch of tasks. You can have up to four tasks at a time. When you complete the tasks, you gain points, which brings you down a track. As you progress down the track, you get a series of four skins that are unique to this event. Yeah, they are unique to this year's event so far. Also, you can get two blueprint caches, which comes with the blueprint for five accelerators, which then still have to be manufactured. Okay, so the loot from these sites is unlike before. You don't just like kill the thing and then loot it and yay, here's my skin. It actually drops, more often than not, it will drop a Guardian Gala ticket. A Guardian Gala ticket plus five triboxial carbocinine MacGuffins and 13 million ISK will give you a random prize. This random prize almost universally sucks.
I've turned in six tickets. I've turned in six tickets, and I am at a net loss ISK-wise.
I've turned in like seven or eight. Pockets has turned in a few. It's at the point that I haven't heard a single person be like, oh yeah, and I got 500 plex. Like there is no, I haven't even heard about a jackpot that like would be something to aspire to. It's a way to lose money. Anyway, that being said, you can get the implants, the Eros, and the new implant, which is webbing and, scramming range, which is actually kind of interesting. That is also the blueprint, which, okay, so the problem with the triboxial things that you have to collect, these objects are gotten from all of the live events. Each live event since the last Crimson Harvest has had some sort of ore that you can mine and then refine that ore to this one material. So they always refine down to this triboxial whatever. I'm sure I'm saying.
You are, but that's okay because I think it's. I don't think anybody can say it correctly. So I just call it.
Correctly.
I just call it Bolonium, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I did this. I did a whole video for Talking in Stations where I explained all this, and I actually pronounced it correctly, so you can watch it there. Anyway, so the problem with this stuff is that in this case, it takes 1,000 ore to refine to two of these MacGuffins, which means the rocks only have like 150 to 200 each. So you're mining an entire site, and if you're lucky, you will get enough ore to refine down for the tickets. And that process is probably going to take you 5 or 10 minutes, assuming you have the proper equipment to mine this stuff, which means that you're basically mining for at least 5 minutes, assuming that you have the correct equipment. But the problem with that is that if you warp away, then the site will despawn if you don't warp back fast enough. And that assumes that you have the proper equipment in the same system as you, or you bring it along with you. And if you're bringing it along with you, that means you're in a Gila and you're using mining drones to mine 1,000 units in order to get 2 of these freaking things. And you can start to see where there's a problem.
Or you have a second character that's a backup.
Right.
But you shouldn't now, have to have a second character.
You shouldn't.
Well, So before we all go super ragey, let's talk about the why maybe this happened. As I mentioned earlier, the MacGuffins are the same MacGuffins from previous events. And in Vegas, when they introduced this concept, they specifically said, hey, keep these things. They're going to be useful to build stuff in the future. Not just these, but you never know what they'll be useful for or whatever, right? So there's been people who have been stockpiling these things, but they haven't really been particularly valuable because they only get used in accelerators, really. And the accelerator thing has been kind of weird the last couple of events. And in particular, in Permafrost, it was actually really hard to get the blueprints. And mining was a big deal in that event, so a whole bunch of extra of the MacGuffins got produced. So now all these people have these large stockpiles. So it's very, very possible that this was a manufactured shortage to reward those that had stockpiles.
Because I was going to say, let me interject this, because what happened is the ore that you were able to mine at the Blood Harvest event, it took less ore to refine into these particular minerals, this carbuncle. Yeah. So the Blood Harvest had the best ratio. I believe it was like 25-1. And then Permafrost had a 50-1. So it took 50 units of ore to refine down into this one unit of carbuncle. And now it's 1,000-1. And I remember having this conversation with you on a previous podcast, Ash, where you were talking about, hey, make sure you save some of this stuff because I've got a feeling it's going to be used down the road. So I started putting in buy orders and I bought up a bunch of the stuff.
Yeah, I know that there's a guy, I don't know how much they're worth prior to this event, but they go right now at a pretty nice clip for about $2 million each. And so I've got a guy who had a bunch of stockpile from Permafrost. I'm not sure how much money he's made, but he's actively trying to figure out how to spend it.
Nice.
I saw Protovarius had posted on Twitter that he had sold all his carbuncles off, and he said it was the fastest, easiest bill he made.
Carbuncle.
And that's the whole thing about these events, as I've said many, many times, is that there's tons of money to be made in these events, but it's just really hard to predict how, you know.
I have to inject. I have to try and pronounce this because carbuncle's killing me. Chromodynamic tricarboxyls.
Yes, chronodynamic yes.
Tricarboxyls.
Chronodynamic. I should have remembered that because the skins from Permafrost are called chronodynamic candy.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They've That is one of the things that's important to note about all of this, is that they've done a lot to make these events mean more outside of themselves. And I think this is a symptom of the fact that they've locked in their event rotation now. So that helps when it comes to designing things, knowing that it'll repeat. Starting with Crimson Harvest, this stuff has actually had direct contact in the lore. It's actually a big part of the continuing story that is probably looking like it's leading all the way up to FanFest. It's interesting how much more integrated the events have been recently. Now, sometimes for better or worse, but, at least they're trying.
Well, here's the one thing that I will say, and I know we talked about this a little bit before the podcast, was when it came to Operation Permafrost, I was seriously ragey about this one. I was, you know, after the first 2 days of trying to participate, I had lost all will whatsoever to do this. While with this one, I'm disappointed, but I'm not ragey on it now. And I don't know if that's because I've been let down a couple of times and just, you know, my expectations are down. But this one, I actually enjoy it a little bit more than Permafrost. I enjoy being able to get into a little bit of a flow. It, you know, there are some things I don't like. You don't get bounties. Oh, well. A lot of times the battle cruiser or the battleship that spawns in, maybe it's just me, but most of the ones that I've been getting, once you pop them, there's no loot drop. So
yeah, sometimes there's just nothing, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's, you go through all this hassle and you turn around and you get nothing for a drop. I will say that in the first day that I tried it, I encountered two battleships. Both battleships had dropped a damaged can.
Yes.
And you open up the damaged can, and the first time I got one, the first one I opened up had a unit of garbage in it. And, you know, I sat back and I just went, oh, is this how it's going to go? However,
don't forget to drink your Ovaltine.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the best loot that I've gotten so far from a can, both of them have been from damaged cans. I got a blueprint for one of the new implants from a damaged can, and I got like a skin from a damaged can.
Now, to be fair, the second damaged can I got, I had a domination web.
Wow. Oh, nice. Okay.
So I will say that, you know, in it definitely made running that site much more profitable, because you figure that that domination web's worth, what, about 95 mil?
Yeah, I think that a big part of the loot table for the event, the fear behind the loot table, or the conservative nature of the loot table, or the probability, I guess. Anyway, would be that the last time they tried to put faction equipment into an event, it got really bad really fast.
Right, which is when we were talking about their particular event, you had even suggested that for the future events, hit it hard the first day, because it'll either be good or it'll be bad.
Yeah, and it's bad, you'll figure it out real quick. which, so, going back to what you were saying, though, I do agree that the act of doing the event felt pretty good. I think that the tasks themselves were well constructed. I felt that the balance between, you know, the expiring tasks that seemed to be a little bit more of an ask versus the kind of the bread and butter tasks that didn't go away and just allowed you to work on them as you needed to. I thought that worked really well. I felt good, you know, working up the skins. I think that they've really nailed down that whole side of things, the meta nature of the events, in a really good way, if the tasks refresh correctly.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
Yeah, at this point, I'm still going to assume that that was a technical glitch and whatever. We'll hopefully that'll get fixed. But, you know, other than that, I think that the actual act of like running the event was really good. The rewards being laughably bad. Insultingly, it's like Resource Wars 2.0, man. But
it was horrible. It was horrible because, and honestly, after looking and seeing what the value of the triboxels are, okay, so I won't say carbuncles again. So seeing what the value of these things are, I'm sitting back going, are people actually turning these things in? Because at 13 million ISK, one Wonka golden ticket and a handful of, you know, carbuncles, out of all the times that I've done this, I think I've gotten one skin and one mid-level overseer's effects, and the rest has just been useless. That, and yeah, that was like, really?
Yeah, and I don't know, man. My first instinct is to say that you shouldn't have like bunk results, because you know that you've gone through all that work and you're turning 13 million in, you should at least get 13 million out guaranteed. And that feels like that's my gut response, but at the same time, it depends on whether or not it's a loot box or an opportunity to gamble. If it's a loot box and you're purchasing, then of course you want it to be worth at least as much as, you know, whatever. But if you're actually going to frame it as a as an opportunity to gamble, which I don't know whether or not CCP wants it to be framed as that or not, then the option to fail out, to lose your money, should be there. And so by definition, they've made this from a loot box to a gambling operation, I guess. Congratulations.
Yeah, which that's the thing, right? It rubs me the wrong way because of the loot payouts.
Have you run across any of the VIP sites yet?
No.
Yeah. I haven't actually fought one.
I ran across a VIP site and, you know, surprise, surprise, you get a carrier that shows up and it drops fighters. And I'm immediately warping out because I'm watching my Gila shields just bottom out. So I thought, I wonder what I can do to generate enough DPS to do this. So two characters, one in a battleship. I bought a Raven and I equipped it as a cruise Raven for her. And then my other character was using a Tornado with 1400 millimeter artillery cannons. And between the two ships, I got it down to like 75% shields, but I tried for like an hour and a half straight, warping in and out, you know, repping my ships up on the local Citadel stuff, and was like, come on, I got to generate enough DPS to take this thing out. And I couldn't do it, but I had a solid hour of fun trying to do it.
Think of the up to two gala tickets you just lost out on by not killing that carrier.
You know what, though? It was in high stakes. There was no way I was going to get anything bigger other than, you know, trying to find five more people with battleships to do this. But you know what? It was still fun. I tried. I really, really tried.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like the fact that there are different kinds of challenges that come out in these kinds of events. I hope that they're being held back by the fact that they have a new agency coming out, and when they started these events, they didn't really have a good framework for what these events were going to even be, and so the tools have been having to be built even as they're going forward, which is one of the reasons why it's kind of buggy, you know, fairly frequently. But I can't wait for them to get back to really good ones.
I just like a plain old warped place, shoot something, drop some skins and loot. I'm fine with that for some of the events. Every event doesn't have to be some type of puzzle or big to do.
Well, so the next one will likely be some sort of puzzle as well. More than any other event, the next one is almost guaranteed to be a puzzle because it's Easter, right? So you've got last time they had the Capsuleer eggs that dropped.
But traditionally, Guardians Gala has been a warp to site, shoot stuff, spawns, you get some loot from the last guy.
Yeah. In fact, I remember last year when the Guardians Gala came out, I actually commended, I believe it was CCB Dragon at the time, because if I remember correctly, that was the first one where, you know, people warped in from all different angles, but then the final boss would spawn in the center. And the same thing happens here. And I really like that because the narrative is very simple, right? It is a party, and then, you know, they try to defend it, and when they failed to defend it, then the special guest attempts to escape. And so I think that that whole part of it makes a lot of sense and is really cool. But yeah, I think it just comes back to the reward. That was the only missing piece.
Yep.
Two interesting things that is also should be brought up. One, we had structure fireworks, which were new, like structure fireworks above the structure, which obviously, you know, the fireworks have been a major piece of events in the past, and we just recently got fireworks for structures, but this is the first time, like, in an event they were being shown off during the event, which is pretty cool. But also, if you noticed, the Citadel itself had a skin on it. It has purple lights. It has angel banners hanging off of it. And a feature that's coming out, quote unquote, winter, is structure skins. So this may be a like a tech test of structure skins in game.
I'm pumped for the structure skins.
I heartily approve of this product and or service.
I look forward to it. I mean, it's just going to add a little bit of, you know, personality just to structures out in space. And it gives nothing for the game itself, but it does change the scenery around.
Well, on that notion, there is a really significant... If I had to guess what the theme of this year is going to be, it is making your mark in New Eden. Because the big structures that we have coming up next are mostly the social structures, the statues and other stuff like that. Like, the utilitarian structures are mostly finished now. So combining that with new tech for skins and skins for structures and all that sort of stuff, there may be a big push for kind of personalizing your space and your area, new kill mills that will reflect your skins that you're using, all that kind of stuff. So that's my hope.
I think this will be really important because I know a lot of people, you know, they like their skins, right? And all the kill mills currently don't show that. And it does matter to people. I think a lot of us old players, we don't really care for that as much because we've never had it. But this new generation of gamers loves that type of customization and to be reflected, you know, on, you know, the characters and out of game too.
I just think that a kill mail should be a snapshot of the ship at the moment of death. So it should show what skin it had on, the kill marks it had, because it should be a record.
Right.
Otherwise, why have it?
Well, it's a vanity thing. Let's be realistic. And right now, the skins are attached to the character, not as so much to the ship.
Yeah.
Which, you know, going back to the structure skins, you know, I'm assuming that the problem that they're having was one that you had pointed out in a previous podcast, Ash, is the fact that, you know, structures are corp owned, essentially. Whereas, you know, if I want to put a police skin on my, you know, whatever, the skin is attached to the character. It's not attached to the corp.
Right. Right. So they had to figure out a way to make it so that, yeah. Because, yeah, structures get shifted around, obviously. Or who, quote-unquote, owns the structure is not a single person.
So then, have we beat Guardians Gala? I mean, it's... I will say it's not as good as previous events, but it's not as bad as Permafrost. Anybody else, last comments, thumbs up, thumbs down, Guardian Gala?
So, the one thing I will say is that the fact that the actual act of completing the tasks is pretty decent, but the fact that the event sites themselves are pretty unrewarding has meant that I have had no problem competing with people for sites or finding them, unless they were having difficulty spawning, because there were some technical glitches here and there. As long as they were spawning, it was pretty easy to find them, and there wasn't very much competition for them. For better or worse. And the other thing I like about it was that they asked me to fly a specific ship, which gave me an opportunity to dust off my Macariel and start doing the missions in that, which I really do like. That's a positive thing that they can do with these kinds of tasks is, you know, maybe give you an excuse to do something that you wouldn't normally do.
Anybody else?
Nope.
I'm good. It's a dead horse.
I found running the site to be interesting. It allowed me to settle into a rhythm that I can sit back and enjoy. And I don't recall being able to do that. The last time I've been able to do that was the Blood Harvest. Okay, that was the last time I could settle into a rhythm. So I didn't mind the sights, but the payoff structure was horrendous. I mean, it was... I'm still sitting on a handful of the Wonka golden tickets. I'll never cash them in because, you know, why would I bother? I've already got 13 million times six, you know, 78 million ISK involved in this, not to mention the cost of the triboxels, but, and my payout on this stuff has been nowhere near it. You know, again, the domination web that I got was from the damage can for shooting the battleship, not turning in the Wonka ticket. So honestly, and unlike you, Ash, I've been running into the situation where if I hit my system at a certain time, there's usually a handful in there, but they go quickly and then they still respond very slowly. So that by the time I am getting into my play time, if I don't get in early and hit them right away, then I will lose out. Like tonight, when I got home and got into my current play time, there was one that I could find.
Oh no, I mean, I still have to roam around and stuff. Are you yeah. You just can't find them anywhere?
No, I okay, to be fair, I wasn't willing to do a lot of roaming. How's that? But on top of it, I had one character flying the Gila. I had another character flying an Orca with mining drones. So my Gila pilot would go in, clear out the site. My Orca pilot would come in right behind him and start mining the carbuncles, you know, start mining the polonium. So, you know, I mean, so to me, it was like the only thing that's worthwhile on this is, you know, ooh, did I get something from the battleship drops? No. Oh, okay. Well, time to move on. So I was just, the payoff was really, really poor, but the actual gameplay of the site itself, I didn't mind.
I will say that I did appreciate the fact that one of the tasks that were basically always there was to kill rats in the sites. And the reason why is because a lot of people were ignoring the frigates, but I found myself, you know, like if you're particularly trying to finish that task, then you'll actually do those things. And I actually had people who were coming into the sites that didn't care about the battleship at all because the rewards suck and were just sitting there and, you know, shooting all the dudes. So they're like, as I said, even when there were people, they weren't necessarily competing. Probably because there wasn't so much to compete over, but, you know, whatever. It made me happy.
All right.
Guardians Gala.
Yep. That's... Go out and try it for yourselves and see if you like it.
So, like I said, I'm very excited for the Easter event. They better have the agency out by then. I'm just going to say that.
Ooh, Astaroth is getting a little threatening over here.
No, well, I don't want to say something like they'll probably and like eat crow again. So I rephrased.
All right.
So maybe we should move on to shout outs.
I think we should. How about we go from the bottom to the top? So I'll go first. Shout out to all my real life dudes that play Eve. It's really great playing with friends in real life. I haven't done that in a long time. It's been great. So shout out to all you guys. I love flying with you. Please stay sub. Please keep flying with me. Min?
Yeah, also shout out to our corp Sub-Zero and the Bastion and all of you for joining us this evening.
Kyle?
I have no shout outs, but you guys are great. All of you. There.
Oh, it's getting soft. Gray Gal.
Shout out in particular to CCP Falcon, and he's really been putting in the time hand-holding the community lately. And, of course, to all of you.
Ashtarothy?
I'll claim... no. So, I have a few. First of all, I want to give a shout out to all my bros over at Malro Industries. Whatever it is that I said at the beginning of this slogan, that's not the real slogan. I just made it up off the top of my head. But they are a bunch of good dudes. We are trying to maximize the value of HiSec and HiSec living, and it's going pretty good. Thanks to the hard work of those people. And my second shout out would be to Torvald Urs, who has been streaming quite a bit. He's a really entertaining streamer. He also focuses mostly on the Abyss, which I appreciate, both the PvP and the PvE aspects. But more importantly, he's more than willing to try different fits and experiment. And he runs a community called the Abyss Lurkers, which is both in Discord and in game. So if you're at all interested in the Abyss, you're interested in making stupid amounts of money for PvE, then check it out. And my third and final shout out, my personal shout out, is to Matterall, who has been a great dude over the years. He puts in a ton of work. He's the guy who makes talking in stations happen. And given the fact that, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that there hasn't been nearly as much media in the last year or two as there has been before. And so I really appreciate Matterall's commitment to making Talking in Stations work. He puts in tons of time editing people's podcasts and everything like that. I just have to throw it at him. And, you know, if you enjoy that content at all, make sure to give him a thank you, because he definitely makes it happen.
He sure does. I agree with that, actually.
And I've heard that he knows the Mitanni.
He sure does. I even got the middle that says, I know Matterall. All right. Last up is Random.
Well, I'm going to say, way to steal my thunder there, Gigi and Ash. My shout outs this week were going to be to Matterall and CCP Falcon for the news, the discussion that they had with regards to the Alliance tournament, because I may be using a bit of hyperbole by saying that I was sitting in a dark corner with my blankie and a pint of Haagen-Dazs weeping uncontrollably, but it may not be as far-fetched as you think. So I'm hoping that CCP Falcon, I hope you come across and pull this out, because Alliance Tournament is one of the big things yearly that I look forward to. And again, also kudos to Matterall, because we are still in the hopes of moving High Drag as a moving the podcast, not moving it, but having them host us as a way of expanding some of our audience. So big kudos to Matterall and the Talking in Station crew. At this point, I suppose what I will say is, if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't had a chance to leave us a review on the various media forums that you pick this up on, take a time and give us a review. If you like the podcast, you know, give us a 5-star review. Tell them thank you.
And if you have reviewed it on your favorite podcast system of choice, go to the rest of them and review us there too.
There you go. Because I mean, for people who are looking for podcasts, and it's funny because I sit and look at the Twitters sometimes and I get tons of people who are like, hey, someone review us a podcast, somebody give us a podcast to listen to. If you like Eve and you like the podcast and you think some of the other people might like it, it's easier for them to find on iTunes if we are, you know, reviewed. So just take a few minutes, give us a 5-star review. If you don't like their podcast, then mail Ash Tarathi at highdragpodcast@gmail.com. No, I'm just kidding. But highdragpodcast@gmail.com, you could send us an email or leave us a comment on the website. But I think that covers it. That covers all my stuff.
All right. Well, on behalf of myself, Lewis Magnum, and the rest of the crew here, thank you, Greg Al, for coming on. It was wonderful. And all you guys listening, we look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. Good night.
We'll see you in space.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, noob, don't be so sad. Take a bad loss and make it better. Remember to learn from what you did wrong, and before too long, you will get better. Hey, noob, you just began. Find a skill plan and let it guide you. Don't worry that you can only tackle, for you will soon fly fancy. And anytime you feel to blame, hey noob, refrain. Your fleet mates are here to help support you. Remember that you're not alone. We all have grown. For everyone here has been a noob too. Na na na.
Oh man, if I can't explain that, this is going to be a long fucking episode.
Anyway, sorry. Okay, I'll start now. Oh god, don't mess this up.